At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warm up from the law. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Eats with myself, Greg Eats Spears, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We do have a great podcast for you. So in the second segment, we are going to be joined by Curtis Rogers. He does a great job over there at 710 Seattle Sports, being able to take a look at a wide variety of things, actually, this time of year. He is doing Seattle Mariners pre- and post-game hosting, but he is out there in the Pacific Northwest, and on top of that, he's in Pac-12 country. So we're going to be asking him about what we're seeing in terms of realignment, and we're also going to be talking about the Gonzaga program. He is not too far away from Spokane, Washington, so we're going to be gauging his thoughts on Gonzaga coming into the season. Should they be the number one team? And on top of that, we're going to be taking a look at the just sort of issues that the Pac-12 is having, especially with some of these mid-major programs coming up, poaching some of the Pac-12 teams of some of their mid-range scorers. Guys are averaging right around 8 to 10 points per game, and we're also going to be asking about the Arizona program, as we did not wind up having a lot of news and notes in college basketball on Wednesday, as really the biggest thing that we wound up seeing, ironically enough, that was a little bit of a reclassification when it comes to Arizona, and very fitting that we wind up having our good friend Curtis Rogers on the podcast, because we did wind up seeing a 5-star point guard in Kylan Boswell. He decided to reclassify up to the class of 2022, so he's going to be lending his thoughts there. Thoughts on the Arizona program coming into the season, and we're going to be taking a look at the outlook of the Pac-12 for this season as well. We've been doing a lot of just projecting forward in terms of conference realignment and things of that nature, but we're actually going to dive into this conference a little bit with Curtis on the podcast. And because really the only thing that we wound up seeing in college basketball in terms of news and notes was the Kylan Boswell reclassification, we're just going to keep it to two parts today. So no news and notes, just because it's really the only one that we wound up having. And if you do like returning from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, list goes on and on. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. So we are going to be diving into that chat with our good friend Curtis on the other side. Really did not wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, so I'm going to dive into that next right here on Coast to Coast Soups with myself, Greg Spearson, now a part of the VEASAN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes, and now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts. It is always great to be joined by this guest, as Curtis Rogers does absolutely amazing work over there at 710 Seattle Sports, gauging a little bit of everything. For those of you guys that love baseball, and we've got a baseball podcast too called The Baseball Betting Show. He joins Zach quite a bit because he does a great job taking a look at the Seattle Mariners, doing their pre- and post-game work. On top of that, he does a great job with the Seattle Sports Night, Seattle Sports Saturday podcast. Man does it all, and he is out there in Pac-12 country, out there in the great state of Washington, doing a nice job holding it down there. And to be able to follow Curtis on Twitter as well as Instagram, that is at AKidFromKent altogether. And Curtis, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, really appreciate you joining me. We're out here in Pac-12 country, or at least what remains of Pac-12 country.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what winds up happening there. Does the Pac-12 wind up welcoming in a few schools from the Mountain West? Do they wind up just breaking apart altogether and it just winds up becoming it is all Pac-12? Or do they wind up just changing to the Pac-10 once again? That is the big question. And I think that's just so interesting to speculate, because something that I've been hitting upon this offseason is that I've been really not impressed by what the Pac-12 has done as a whole in terms of just their personnel moves. I mean, we dive into the fact that like 27 people are able to have access to the Pac-12 network, but I mean, just from a personnel, getting in players by the transfer portal, coaching changes, what have you, I've not been impressed by the Pac-12, but the mid-majors have really done a nice job. Teams out there in the Mountain West, even the Big West, have wound up making some good moves, being able to bring in some talent. So I think that it's interesting to see what the next move is for the Pac-12, which is going to have 10 teams in a few years.
It should be interesting. I look at a couple of the teams that, you know, we all kind of looked at last year as the flag bearers for the Pac-12, UCLA. And, I mean, they obviously lost a lot of talent, but they should, as they always do, they bring in plenty of it. I would have them kind of either outside the top 10 or maybe just on the fringe of the top 10, maybe 9th or 10th right now in terms of best teams in the country. How do you replace Johnny Juzang and what he gave to that program over the last couple seasons? I know they had anticipated Peyton Watson having a bigger role, but obviously the NBA came calling. So it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do. Obviously, Arizona lost a ton of NBA talent. They lost 3 draft picks, 2 first-rounders to the NBA draft. So they're going to need to rebound and reload. And they've got some good guys coming in. And then, you know, you look at USC, they've just lost so much talent over the last couple of years, the Mobleys, but they do bring Peterson back this season. So I look at those three teams right now, and yeah, they were the 3 best teams a year ago, and I have a hard time seeing any other team, maybe Oregon. I think Oregon can step up. I think they can very easily be in that group, as I think a lot of us thought they were going to be a year ago. So really, outside of that quartet of teams, it just kind of feels like the Pac-12 is kind of remaining the status quo right now.
Yep, I agree with you, especially with Stanford. The disappointments that they've had under Mr. Haas, and they did not wind up removing him. Now, they did get back Harrison Ingram, which is going to be able to help them out, but I take a look at just the entirety of the Pac-12, and you don't necessarily have that one team that you say, yep, this is a team that's going to be able to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. UCLA would probably be more towards the top of that list, but I have them outside of my top 5. As of right now with Arizona, I think it's intriguing with them because they did wind up losing so much to the NBA draft. Ben Mathurin along Christian Coloco and then Dallin Terry, I feel like, was the big surprise. But they did wind up making a couple moves out there in the transfer portal. And I know you are a man that is a graduate of Arizona. I do like the fact that they wind up bringing Courtney Rainey along Cedric Henderson Jr. And if they were able to have the success that they did under Tommy Lloyd in year one, I'm very curious to see
what winds up happening in year two, even though the talent might not be as great with Arizona. I do think that having another year under their belt with the system, it's going to be able to help them out a little bit. But and then you're able to take a look on the same sort of wavelength of that and say, because there's now a full year of tape out on Arizona, they're a little bit easier to figure out. So I think that Arizona might be one of the most intriguing teams in the country when it's all said and done.
Absolutely. I think they have one of the higher variances of what they could be in this upcoming season. I mean, we don't really have to look too far to another Arizona team there where there were plenty of question marks heading into their season. That was last year. I think a lot of people had them pegged as maybe a fringe tournament team or a team that was just going to be okay with an NIT berth. One funny thing to me is that the Pac-12 media last year in the preseason conference poll had Arizona and Oregon State tied for fourth. You could not have found a higher disparity between two teams in the country last year than Arizona and Oregon State, especially in the same conference. You've got the outright conference champions and one of the worst teams in all of college basketball, regardless of conference. Boy, what a swing and miss right there. I do think that this Arizona team coming into this year, they do have plenty of experience with Kirk Creasa at point guard. Pelle Larson is expected to have a bigger role this year. You mentioned Courtney Ramey, who's been a four-year starter already. Omar Bala, it looks like he's going to be pressed into the starting role as center. And then they bring in a couple of interesting international prospects as well. Henry Visar, who I know is one of the higher-ranked European players out there. They've got another guy who's got a last name that is really tough to pronounce. I'm not going to do any... I'm not going to insult his family. You know, pretty typical of Tommy Lloyd to look towards international waters for filling out his roster. It's benefited him quite well. Now, I do think it's interesting. Last year, all five of Arizona's starters were recruited by Sean Miller. So Lloyd was able to show that he can coach with anybody's talent. Now, this year, this team will look a little bit more in his image. I'm very interested to see how it's going to go. And then today, there was the surprising news, maybe not too surprising, that Kylan Boswell, a five-star point guard in the class of 2023, has chosen to reclassify to 2022. So that's another name you can add to the backcourt. I don't think right away he'll start over Kirk Creasa. I think Kirk Creasa, just his veteran experience and him being a third-year starter at Arizona, I think he'll get the nod over him. Because when Kirk Creasa is on, we saw how good he can be now. Obviously, when he is not on, there is going to be a large penalty to pay. That UCLA game sticks out. Also in the NCAA tournament when he was dealing with that ankle injury.
Shouldn't have had him out there to start with in the NCAA, in my opinion. Sorry to butt in here, but I felt
that
was Tommy Lloyd being a little bit too loyal to a fault, and they needed to protect Kirk Creasa from himself because he clearly was not 100%. I mean, just a few weeks ago, his ankle was like all different colors, and that was just a case in which he shouldn't have been out there.
I 100% agree with you, and I wonder what Arizona would have looked like in the tournament had they chosen to go with Justin Kyer at point guard rather than Kirk Creasa. But what it should have, could have, you can play that game for as long as you want, but now they've got a lot more depth at the guard spot by bringing in Boswell a year early.
Yep, I agree with you, and I think that that is just so important to look at moving forward. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Curtis Rogers, because I'm not going to hold that NCAA tournament against Kirk Creasa, because once again, I feel like he should not have been out there asking him to play on that ankle. It just is something that it should not have happened. But with that said, prior to him injuring that ankle, it was a case in which you either got really good Kirk Creasa or you got really bad Kirk Creasa. We're talking about how Arizona might have one of the highest variances of any team out there in all of college basketball, and that's exhibited by Creasa having perhaps the biggest variance of any player not named Andre Curbelo out there in college basketball as well. And I think that he's really the big key for Arizona, and it could be big for the conference in general as well, because I mean, we just mentioned it. The fact that this conference, it feels like it's going to be down this season. If Kirk Creasa winds up looking how he did in some of those great performances, the triple-double winds up coming to mind. I mean, this is an Arizona team that they could once again be a surprise team. They could wind up winning the conference. If we wind up seeing the Kirk Creasa that we wind up seeing in some of those bad games like the UCLA game that you reference as well, it could be an underachieving year for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That UCLA game comes to mind. The Tennessee game comes to mind. There were a couple of performances where it felt like he was forcing everything. And look, I applaud him for having the green light to shoot as much as he does, but also it can really hurt Arizona's chances, especially when it feels like he's forcing the issue. Also, the TCU game, he hit a late three, but outside of that, he was pretty ineffective against TCU. Ben Mathurin had to put the team on his back that night and really just steal the show from everybody, and he did, and they managed to advance. But you could see that the air was starting to deflate in Arizona's balloon after that TCU game, going up against a Houston team that was just so feisty defensively. Arizona had a really tough time against them, and you wonder if there's going to be an added emphasis this year on with Arizona to play more physically, especially when they do encounter a team like Houston or other teams. You know, heck, even TCU last year, they had a lot bigger bodies going up against that Arizona team. Arizona wasn't able to outrun them the way they had done with literally every other team that year. It'll be interesting to see how the Wildcats do, and I do think that they are going to be up near the top of the Pac-12. I don't know if they're going to run away with it the way they did a year ago, considering that I don't see three lock NBA draft picks on this roster right now. I think there could be some guys that do eventually get to that point, but I don't think they're going to have three guys in the top 33 picks in the NBA draft in their starting lineup anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, the talent that we wound up seeing out of Arizona last year was just absolutely supreme, and I just take a look at what we're going to be getting moving forward in this college basketball season, and out of your power conferences, I do think that Pac-12 is very securely at the bottom of all of them. I have the Big East rated higher than them, the Big Ten, certainly the ACC and the SEC as well. So I think that it's going to be a little bit of a rough go of it there. And then the Big 12, I mean, that's by far the best conference in all of college basketball, in my opinion. But I think might actually become a little bit of a debate is, would you rather have the Pac-12 or sort of the best of the rest out west as well? Because as we know, Gonzaga, they're going to be back in full force. Everyone has them in their top three. It all depends upon where you wind up having Houston and North Carolina along with Gonzaga. Any of those three, I feel like those are your top three teams. I'm not going to argue on the order of them personally, because I think that you can go any of those three different ways. But with that said, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, the Mountain West and the WCC has actually poached talent from the Pac-12, like Eric Williams Jr. along Jaden Dallaire. They're not going to be playing for Steve Lavin at San Diego. The Wyoming Cowboys wound up bringing in three guys from USC and UCLA. Obviously, not necessarily the world's biggest producers, but still, I mean, someone like an Ethan Anderson, he's going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to have some good production. And even while he was at USC, was able to dole out the ball. And I think that it's just so interesting what we're seeing these Pac-12 schools and guys that they actually are putting up like 8-10 points per game, getting poached and going to mid-major West Coast schools.
I think an interesting thing that has influenced that is what we're seeing with name, image, and likeness, because you look at all these WCC schools, there are very few of them that field a football team. In fact, I think BYU is the only one that does field a football team, and they're about to head to the Big 12 here in just, I think, a year or two. Because of these schools not having a football team, a lot of these boosters can kind of pool more money together and hand it out to the basketball teams to get guys to sign. And I think that is something that is going to be interesting to see how these schools where the basketball team is the one that funds their athletic department, to see them kind of step up, and not just out on the West Coast, but also on the East Coast. You know, you look at a lot of schools in the Big East, they don't have football teams as well. Potentially, they could help themselves out by sending some money via the boosters to some of these recruits. It is one of the ultimate equalizers, and obviously conference realignment is going to shake things up here as we see USC and UCLA headed towards the Big Ten. But I think there is going to be a lot more randomness, I think, in college athletics, especially now that we're starting to see how this era of college athletics will influence what we see on the field and on the court and wherever it is these games are played. And I think it actually is a good thing for these other schools that don't field football programs to be able to have something that these other schools don't, and to really give themselves a shot at competing year in and year out. And that's the beauty of college basketball, is that even though you may play in a mid-major conference by, you know, definition, you still have a very real shot at the national championship. I mean, just look at Gonzaga. They're in the West Coast Conference, but last 2 years they've been a number one seed. They made it to the national championship game in 2021, have all the talent in the world to get back there this year. Drew Timmy's back. That's a big reason why he's back, is that he's able to cash in on his name, image, and likeness in his senior season. I know up here in the Northwest, his face is plastered on a couple of billboards for casinos out here. So it is something that college basketball, we've been walking down this road and now we're here. And I think it might actually make for a much more interesting thing. And, you know, we hear it all the time on ESPN and Fox Sports and whatnot. Guys complain about, oh, is college basketball dead? None of these guys stay for 4 years. Well, name, image, and likeness can influence these kids to stay for, you know, a year or two. If they're going to make more money doing what they do in college than, you know, playing overseas or playing in the G League, why not continue doing it in the college ranks? That's kind of what Drew Timmy has chosen to do.
Yep, and Drew Timmy, just a guy that is polarizing in general. I remember when he was at the NBA Draft Combine, he was screaming, "You can't handle the sauce." And that just is something that sticks in my mind. It is just absolutely hilarious. And those sorts of personalities are terrific. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Curtis Rogers. And I do think that taking a look at Gonzaga moving forward, it is so intriguing because I've got them number 2 in terms of my rankings coming into the year. I've got North Carolina, a very slim sliver above them, at number 1. But I think that you're really just pulling hairs between those two. And then I've got Houston at number 3. But once again, very slim margin. If you wind up having the game played a little bit closer to Gonzaga, or if you wind up having a game a little bit more on the East Coast, that could be the difference maker in how that game will wind up going. In my opinion, I think that they're that close. But just taking a look at Gonzaga for this season, I know that everyone wants to hate on the fact that they haven't won that national title game. But I take a look at a school that has been able to make the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament in darn near every year since, I think, like 2015. And I just take a look at Gonzaga in general, and I don't necessarily understand the hate for them. And I think that, once again, they weren't being a top 3 team coming into the season. I know that a lot of people are going to say that, once again, they didn't wind up winning a title, but Baylor didn't. They didn't wind up winning a national title until 2 seasons ago, since like the 1940s. You're able to go on and on down the list. And the Big Ten and the Pac-12 as a whole, they haven't won a title since 2000 themselves. So we can't, by definition, we can't put them as the number 1 team either.
I'm right there with you, Greg. I am absolutely right there, lockstep with you. I think the hate towards Gonzaga is among the least warranted in all of college basketball. Simply because, I mean, look, they've made it to 2 national championship games since 2017. Like you said, they've made it to a Sweet 16 every year since 2015. It is so, so incredibly hard to win in March. They have been able to advance to the second weekend every single year, it feels like. They've been able to advance to the Final Four a couple times. The national championship game, it just so happens in those 2 national championship games, they faced buzzsaws both times. That Baylor team in 2021, who was just absolutely inspired to wreak havoc that night. And then a UNC team that was looking for revenge after losing in a heartbreaking fashion the year prior, and they brought back most of that team. So, yeah, I think Gonzaga is going to be right there every single year. Obviously, until they break through, they are going to get the criticisms lobbed their way. You know, oh, they don't play a great conference schedule. That's really what's holding them back. But it's like, look at their record in the non-conference every year. They roll through every single team that they play. It doesn't matter the talent level of who they play. They are going to give the other team absolute fits, and I think that's going to extend to this season. Obviously, they've lost a lot of talent over the last couple of years, a couple of top 5 picks with Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren, but you know what? They reload, and they're going to be back, and you're going to see other guys step up. I think Nolan Hickman is a guy who's going to have a big opportunity this year, who was really highly regarded a year ago, but just didn't have many opportunities to play, you know, being behind a loaded backcourt like Andrew Nembhard. I think he's going to be somebody to watch this upcoming season. I think Gonzaga is going to be right there in the conversation for 1 seed, going to be in there for the conversation as a potential Final Four team. There may be some Gonzaga fatigue nationwide amongst the college basketball world, but I'm telling you, this is the best run program on the West Coast and probably one of the best run programs nationwide.
Yep, I totally agree with you there. And it's trickled all the way to Chet Holmgren and what he's doing in the summer. Like, went from going into the NBA draft as being scrawny and overrated to being a god after 1 summer league game. And then after his next summer league game, he goes back to being scrawny, overrated, what have you. So I mean, just absolutely hilarious what we're seeing from pickup basketball games right now. It shows that people are starving for this. And Curtis, I know you're someone that, much like myself, you absolutely love the game of basketball, and you do a great job of taking a look at it for 710 Seattle Sports. And on top of that, I know that this is your time of year for being able to take a look at the game of baseball. You do a great job with the Seattle Mariners pre- and post-game hosting duties to let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that we got going on in general.
Yeah, make sure you're following at A Kid From Kent on Twitter and Instagram. And like Greg said, there is no off-season in college basketball. I am so ready for the season to start. Yeah, we just had 4th of July, Greg, but I want it to be October and November in the worst way possible, just to get it back in the gyms and just seeing everybody and seeing all the games tip off, you know, all the preseason tournaments, the Maui Invitational, the preseason NIT. That's when I'm at my happiest. I know that's when you're at your absolute happiest. So let's get through this long summer and hopefully we can get some college basketball in our lives real soon.
Oh, I am right there with you. It is going to be so awesome to be able to see all those random non-conference matchups, the Champions Classic, and then when you wind up getting into the time of year, which most places have snow out here in lovely Las Vegas, I do not have to shovel snow, which I am not mad about. You wind up getting those great conference matchups, so I am so looking forward to it. I know that Curtis, who does a great job over there at 710 Seattle Sports, he is as well. Big thanks to Curtis Rogers for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Soups, now a part of the VSIN family of podcasts, and did not wind up having a lot of news and notes in college basketball on Wednesday, but within the next 48 hours, I don't know whether it'll be tomorrow or 48 hours from now, I will have my conference preview of the Colonial up, and we're going to be taking a look at the Rising League in a few days as well. So conference previews are continuing on this podcast, and if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we have fired those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at June_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. They mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated from there. You're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks once again to Curtis Rogers for joining me right here on the show, and I'll be coming at you guys every single day, whether it be in the offseason, lending news and notes and conference previews for the upcoming season or during the season. It is going to be a case in which we're going to be giving you guys picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, so I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.